Take your Bibles, please, and let's turn together to Ruth chapter 2. We're continuing in our series on what does the providence of God look like. And tonight we're going to be in chapter 2. And what I want to emphasize is this, is acknowledging God's providence as an expression of His grace. Acknowledging God's providence as an expression of His grace. We're going to see the word grace appear twice in the original language here in chapter 2. And Ruth is stunned. She is stunned by the grace that's shown her by Boaz. Now, if you'll think back to Sunday in Sunday school, I emphasized something very strongly as we were looking at Paul and his desire to go back to every one of the cities that he had been kicked out of on his return back on that first missionary journey. He stopped at every one to encourage the saints and to reach out further to those that he had witnessed to. And as an expression of that gracious act, even though he had been stoned, even though he had been thrown out of the towns, he went back anyway against all odds to once again encourage his brother, new brothers and sisters in Christ, but also to give out the gospel again. And I mentioned at that time that when you think of grace, you never look at grace as you being the terminus, as if God's pouring out at grace, it stops here with me. That is not a biblical concept at all. We're not a terminus, we're a channel. And as we're going to see tonight, we're going to see how Boaz gave grace to Ruth, and Ruth in turn took that grace and she ministered it to Naomi. She was a channel of what God had used Boaz to do to encourage both of these ladies. Never look at yourself as a terminus for grace and we just sit here and bask in the grace, which we do. We do enjoy His grace. But that's not where it stops, Christian. We are to turn and channel that grace to others. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Man, it's kind of quiet out there tonight. Must have had a long Wednesday today. But we have got to get over this idea that God just gives me the grace. No, you're using God's grace in vain if you're not ministering grace to others. You enjoy God's grace, then you share God's grace so others can enjoy what God's given you. This is the whole point. So let's begin at verse 4 of Ruth chapter 2, and I want you to see the narrative here, and I want you to pay careful attention to Ruth's response to Boaz and the actions that he takes. Verse 4, "Behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee." Isn't that kind of a nice working relationship there? Between the boss and the workers there. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you too. That's a good relationship there. Verse 5, "Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this?" He had not seen her before. And they say to him, "And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is a Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth." Now here we go from who is this damsel to Boaz making his way over to introduce himself. All right? What would you call this? I would call this progress. All right? There's a connection that's been made. You know, every one of us that's married had some kind of a connecting point. A moment in time where we were saying, the light went on. Bing! Oh, wow. I like him. Or, I like her. And then you wanted to talk. And then you wanted to be with them. Right? So Boaz says, "Who is this damsel?" And they tell her, and the next verse, "And Boaz said to Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field." Stop right there. Exclusive gleaning rights. You've never heard of that phrase before, I'm sure. I never either. But I thought about that. You have exclusive gleaning rights in my field. Don't go to another. All right? In other words, Boaz said, I like you. And I want you to stay here and glean in my field. Then he says, in the next phrase there, let's go back to verse 8. Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. So not only that, but you get to be with my maidens, the ones that work here with, and you get all the privileges that they get. You get to go in the house with them when it's time for a break. You get to do and receive whatever I have for them. You get to be one of them as well. And then he says, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have not I charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Wow. All these things enumerated out that she now can benefit from because Boaz said so. Now notice her response. Verse 10, then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found, everybody say it please, grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been shown unto me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come into a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given unto thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. And she said, let me find, now there's the word favor, but it's the identical word that was translated grace back before. So let's read it as grace. Let me find grace in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, for thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. She's stunned. She doesn't know what to say. But then she asks for more. Let me continue to find grace from thy hand. Now, if the story ended there with the period and we finished the chapter, we would just rejoice with Ruth, right? On what God's done. But that's not where the story ends. Because she goes back home after receiving all this that's been given to her from Boaz, and what does she do? She shares it with Naomi. We read that further down. Verse 20, and Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is a near kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabite said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good for my daughter that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Continued to dwell with her, bringing the food home, bringing that which was given by grace unto her mother-in-law. Now this is a beautiful picture, folks, and I just want to just share five quick thoughts here concerning what we have just read, concerning this matter of how God's providence works. God moves people. God works in people's hearts and lives and ministers His grace, and they share it with somebody else. Had Boaz been a beneficiary of God's grace? Absolutely. He's a wealthy man. He's got all these fields. He has all this. And what does he do? He offers to this Moabitish girl, who's not Jewish, offers her everything that his maidens would get. Now, these are not necessarily just servants. These maidens could be individuals that served in the house or were connected in some way with the family. We don't know for sure who all of these individuals were, but they were all beneficiaries of Boaz's graciousness. And Ruth gets to participate in that. He's sharing what he has. Number one, Boaz knew that Ruth came back from Moab with Naomi, yet he looked past her Moabite heritage and graciously helped her and Naomi by allowing them to glean in his fields and drink his water, and then on top commanded his men not to touch her. Now, let God's Word, let the narrative of God's Word sing in your heart. Just let it soak in what's happening here. How do the most Jewish people look at Moabite people? Yeah. Remember, Moab was an illegitimate child that Lot had with his daughter. There was a lot of animosity there. There was a lot of separation there. But what does he do? He welcomes her in because he's heard about her and how she has taken care of her mother-in-law after her husband died. He's heard the whole account, and he's moved by that. This woman is sharp. This woman is not selfish. She wants to help her mother-in-law, and I'm going to help her. Now, let me just say this right now, folks. We have a tendency in our hearts and lives to look at certain people that we've had little issues with through the years or whatever the case might be, and we put them in file way back in the back of the closet, and we say, I don't want anything to do with them. Sometimes it's by hearsay. Somebody said, we had a lady that called up today. I want my child moved to another team. And I said, can I ask why? Now, they haven't even met yet. They haven't met the coach. Well, I heard from somebody that the coach is not nice. I said, have you ever met the coach? Nope. Do you know who the coach is? Nope. I said, so you heard from another party that this coach isn't nice and you want your child moved over to another team that you have no idea how the coach is. Am I getting this right? Well, it would be really nice. I really like this one coach over here. I said, yes, the one that 20 other people wanted to be on. Let me guess who it is, and I named the name, and I got it right. She wanted to be with who she wanted to be, which would put 13 players on that team, and the coach doesn't want 13 players. He didn't want 12 players, but he got one, got that many. And so I told her, I said, ma'am, I said, you're just not being fair. You haven't even met the coach yet, and you already want to move to another one? I said, it's not going to happen. So you need to give the coach a fair hearing, go out there, practice for a few weeks. I think you'll find that you have a great coach. You know who the coach is? Jeff. She got wrong information. He's a great coach. He's been with us coaching all these years, and I wasn't going to have it. Now, what has she done? She heard. And we do the same thing, folks. Well, I heard something. And bless God, when I hear it from their mouth to my ears, it's the same as God speaking. Listen, folks. Be careful. All of us are this way. Be careful. You'll hear certain things, and you'll automatically make up your mind, and this person, we just shut them down. And you know what we've done? We've done what God doesn't do. You know what God did? Millions and billions of sinners, what did He do? He sent His only begotten Son to die on Calvary's tree, that they might have forgiveness and cleansing from sin. Now, will all of them choose His Son? No. But what He did was an act of grace. Amen. He did an act of grace. He didn't have to. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now we've got to understand something here. Boaz could have written her off. Oh, she's from Moab. not having anything to do with her. You know about the Moabites, don't you? Right? We know about them Moabites. It's like certain families in Santa Rosa County. There's certain names. And you mention their name. Are you part of that group over there? I remember hearing growing up about that family. Well, you know, that family may have changed. And maybe the people that told you that the family had problems were wrong. Could that be? Oh, no. My relatives are never wrong. They always tell the truth. Look out. Be careful. Be careful. He did not allow her Moabite heritage to keep him from being gracious to her. And now think about Jesus with you. He had every reason not to love you or to bestow his grace upon you, because we are rebels to the core. The Bible says we are at enmity with God. That's not a good place to be against God. But you know what he did? He sent his only begotten Son, and he made a way where you could be transformed by his Son. So think about what Jesus has done for you, and then don't be a terminus of that grace. What should you do? What should I do? We should allow it to flow through us to others. I have found this to be true. I've had to remove people from the program, and then I've let them come back. Sometimes people change. You look at a mark in the Bible that left early on the first missionary trip. Some people, we're done with him. But what happens? Paul writes a letter and says, bring John Mark with you. We have need of him. What had happened? Maturing, growing up, learning the things. We need to understand that this works because God makes it work. This whole matter of providence and grace. God's providence looks like an expression of grace. That's because it is. And we need to be careful. Number two in this regard. Boaz learned that Ruth had cared for Naomi, been gracious to her, and came back to Bethlehem with an express purpose of continuing to care for Naomi. He took note of that. Here's another gracious person. Her name is Ruth. Young men, what are you looking for in a young lady? What are you looking for? Well, I want somebody that I can hang on my arm that's beautiful. So I can walk around and say, look what I got, my trophy wife. Stroll around with your trophy wife. Now, it's all right to have a good-looking wife. Amen? But what's the point? I just went past everything else to find beauty. And we all know what all these beautiful people in the world that we see and all the chaos and the confusion and all that kind of, whatever happened to looking for character? What does Boaz notice about Ruth? She's the prettiest girl I've ever seen from Moab. We don't find that language. My goodness! Who is that damsel? Woo-hoo! I want to get to know her. She's pretty. That's not the idea. He had heard when he went to her about her character. Her character. She didn't have to. She didn't have to leave her family and follow her all the way back and then care for her. She didn't have to. She did it out of a heart of graciousness. And Boaz took note of that. Young men, what are you looking for? I hope and pray you're looking for character. Look for a gracious young lady. Gracious lady, willing to serve, willing to help others, willing to give of their time and treasure. That's what you ought to be looking for. And it's okay if they're pretty too. I'm not saying that's evil. That's bad. What I'm saying is, what are you looking for first? So this is the picture that we're beginning to see here, of this relationship that's going to develop into a marriage one day. She's gracious too. two gracious people put together? Is that a good thing? Oh, praise the Lord. Yes. Yes, it is. Number three. I told you we're going to get all through these five here. Number three, Boaz in verse 12 calls upon the Lord to do something special for Ruth. This is interesting. Gamul is the Hebrew word there. It means to deal generously with. He calls upon the Lord. Notice this in verse 12. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. He says to her, I'm praying that God will bless you for what you've done. And what he was doing was blessing her while he's seeking God to bless her. You see that? Did you follow me on that? Did I lose you? He was seeking God to bless Ruth while he's blessing Ruth. Boaz, that is. Don't ask God to bless somebody and you're not willing to bless them too. That's the whole point. Don't be saying, oh God, would you please bless those people on the other side of the world? Oh Lord, I pray that you'd raise up helpers, but I'm not going. And my kids aren't going. Don't expect, Lord, for us to be doing that. But Lord, you raise up somebody. No, that's not the idea. Boaz was blessing Ruth. He provided her with food, water, secure area to be. The workers throwing down wheat as they're going. Aren't we supposed to be picking up wheat, Boaz? Put it down there for her. Why? Grace. And then he says, on top of that, Lord, I'm praying that the Lord God of Israel will deal with you bountifully and reward you for what you've done for your mother-in-law, Naomi. That's the kind of spirit and heart that Boaz had. Number four, Boaz noted Ruth's confession of faith in Jehovah, under whose wings thou art come to trust. She was a believer. Young men, young ladies, are you looking for another believer? You know, we've heard this for many, many years, that young men come to church to find them a pure girl. Well, that's fine. You know, it's good to come to church, but if you're coming there just to find a girl instead of worship the Lord, you got other problems. But my point in sharing this is, Boaz noted Ruth's confession of faith. She's come to dwell under the shadow of the wings of the Almighty. She's trusting in Him. That appealed to Boaz. Are we looking for godly people that know Christ in order to have a relationship? That's an important aspect of this. Two people ministering grace. Ruth to her mother-in-law, Boaz to his workers, and to Ruth. And God puts two grace givers together. And what do you think they're going to produce? They're going to produce gracious activities, gracious giving to help others, gracious children that would come about as a result. Number five, how does Ruth respond in verse 13? She responds by again using the Hebrew word translated grace earlier to ask Boaz to continue to provide this grace. Hen is the Hebrew word, and or the English form of the Hebrew word. And in the case of Hannah, I was thinking about the same word is used of her, by the way. Remember Hannah from the time of the Judges? She cried out for God for grace. She wanted a child. And God said to her, I'm going to give you one. And what did Hannah do? She said, I'm going to give him back. And she didn't give him back when he was 30. When did she give him back? When he was weaned. She gave him back to the Lord, and he went back and worked in the tabernacle. You see the exchange there? That gracious spirit? Lord, if you'll give me a child, I will give him back. And that's exactly what she did. The gracious work of God. And the word hen is used there. The word hen. And in the story of Hannah, it shows that grace not only includes the concept of favor, which it certainly does, but grace here includes healing, vindication, and strength. Remember, what did the other wife, Peninnah, how did she treat Hannah? Despised her because she couldn't have a child. And what does God do? He graciously undertakes for her, gives her a child, and she now has been vindicated. She's no longer the object of scorn, but rather honor, because God has undertaken for her, and strength is given to her. So while mercy is the withholding of deserved punishment or suffering, grace goes beyond that. It is a gift that we neither deserve nor can earn. It is something that only God can provide to us, since He is the source from which grace flows. But it's more than just favor. It is healing, it is vindication, and it is strength. That's what grace provides. And the same thing happened with Ruth. She is healed. She was a widow at a young age. And what does God do? He gives her a husband. And not just any old husband, a gracious husband. What a beautiful picture. And she is vindicated because she's going to have a what? A child, a son. And in that line that begins with Boaz and Ruth, we have the Christ child that will come eventually. She's going to be included in the godly heritage. She did not just bask in the grace that God had given her. She channeled that grace by returning back to God her labors, her fruit. And this is something, folks, that we cannot miss when you study the book of Ruth and understand how God's providence works. What does it look like? Providence, big word, it simply means it's an expression of God's grace. Undeserved, but it supplies everything we need. Father in heaven, I pray that you'd bless your word. Help us to grow up in the relationship to understanding what your grace means. For Ruth, it meant a total transformation of life. Not living the way that she did in Moab, the life of a widow. Now she has the promise of a husband and children and all the provisions that she needs. And it was all because of your grace. I pray that you'd help us to understand and know this, see it pictured throughout your word. And I pray that you'd encourage us to also be gracious, that we might be sharing what you give to us with others and not become a terminus point where it just stops with us. But rather, may the valve open up and may we be blessing others with what you've given to us. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.